Let me leave you with a little thought this morning. James led us in a song, the very first song in Sunday school, that kind of would be a preliminary to my thoughts this morning. He chose the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." It's a good song to sing. It may have a little bit of a boring bass and a little boring tenor part there. You know, you just kind of stick on the same notes for so long, but the words are wonderful words. "Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me." But my thought this morning is really simple. Just, how do I show my love for God? How do I know that I love God? Or maybe more specifically, how do other people know that I love God? Oh, how I love Jesus. We can stand and sing it. We can sit and sing it. We can drive and sing it. If you're one to lay in your bed and sing, that's fine too. You can sing it there. But reading in a book this week, the words stuck out to me about another subject, but it carries over to this, how cheap words are. You know, it's easy for us to say something. It's easy for us to talk about it. A little bit different when the rubber meets the road. Oh, how I love Jesus. No, I'm not trying to condemn anybody this morning. I'm not trying to get anybody to second guess themselves. I'm just asking for us maybe to consider, how do I know, or how does somebody else know, that I love God? You find in Scripture over and over again, actually I think it's 13 times in the Scripture, and most of these times are in the Old Testament, the little cliche or the little phrase, "Keep my commandments." Maybe as I was talking about loving God and how we would show our love for God, that somebody's mind went to that little phrase. You find it over and over again in the Old Testament. Exodus 16, "Keep my commandments." Exodus 20, "Keep my commandments." Leviticus 22 and Leviticus 26, there's two different verses there that says, "Keep my commandments." Deuteronomy 5, "Keep my commandments." 1 Kings, "Keep my commandments." 2 Kings, "Keep my commandments." Nehemiah, "Keep my commandments." Proverbs picks up the pace a little bit, and it mentions it three times in the book of Proverbs, "Keep my commandments." Then we jump over to the New Testament. In John's Gospel, it tells us, Jesus speaking, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, some people think that the commandments of God are grievous. They're hard. It's a straitjacket. It's difficult. It's impractical. It's old-fashioned. It's unnecessary. It's inconsequential. But Jesus very clearly states, following up all of these other passages of the Old Testament, saying that keeping His commandments is a sign of our love for God. Keep my commandments. Jesus goes on in John 15. He said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." So not only is it a sign of our love to Him, but when we keep His commandments, we then are able or privileged to abide in His love. Those are some wonderful thoughts this morning. Now again, you know, we take things for granted. Now don't put up get your feathers all stirred up that I'm being negative here, but we do take things for granted. The reason why we take things for granted is because we are accustomed to them. We are used to it. When the electricity goes out, forbid it to happen, You know, you mention it and it happens, but forbid it to happen. But when the electricity goes out, then we each one are made to realize how blessed we are with electricity. But on any other given day when that power is on without fail, it's easy because we're accustomed to it to take it for granted. You know, you and I have no other measure than to realize and to know God's love. We have no other understanding. It is incomprehensible to us anything else. It's always been a part of our lives. It always will be a part of our lives. But there is coming a day, there is coming a time or a part of eternity for some who will experience something that is void of God's love. You and I can't even begin to grasp what that means simply because we have always experienced God's love. But when Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love," it's more than just having his love around us. It's being loved because of his children. Being loved because I am his, you are his son or your his daughter. We can compare this so many ways in so many areas. Helping people. It's so much more difficult to help a complete stranger than it is to help somebody that we know, simply because we don't know anything about that complete stranger. But when we know them, when they abide in our knowledge or in our presence or in our love. You see, there's a different correlation between somebody who is an outsider and somebody who is in the family. Ye abide in his love. Now, I don't want to get taken away there because my thought this morning is more on the side of how do I show my love for God. But keeping his commandments surely must be a portion. Certainly, keeping his commandments is what Jesus was wanting his followers to be and to do and to have as a sign for their love for him. Therefore, can I just insert here? Keeping his commandments is not a sign or a form of legalism, but it is simply a heart of love. 1 John chapter number 3, John the writer here is not quoting Christ, is not giving letters or words in red ink, as it were, but he is giving us a significant truth when he carries on what Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He tells us, "Because ye keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." He's carrying on just a little bit further for us to realize that the pleasure of God is our love for him. Our love for him is expressed in being pleasing in his sight. Now, there's one more angle that I want us to look at just very quickly. Keeping his commandments is a broad spectrum of how we love God. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 9, let me read at least a portion of it to you. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Now, if I jump back into the Old Testament, let me jump back to the Psalms, to the 97th Psalm, and verse number 10. "Ye that love the Lord," here we go, there it stands out to us, exactly what we're looking at this morning. "Ye that love the Lord," two words, "hate evil." Now, I must cause us to notice this morning, it does not say, capital letters, does not say, "hate sinners." It says, hate evil. Is it safe to say in our culture today that a sign of our love for God not only is to obey His commandments, but also to hate evil? Well, if you're going to abide by God's word, then I would say that it is safe to say, hate evil. I don't know if it's safe to say, but look at it anyway with me, that Elijah recognized that it was important not only to reveal and expose evil, but to abolish evil on Mount Carmel. Not only expose the error of the idol worship, but to abolish that idol worship. John the Baptist, now he was coarse, he was rough. He went against the grain. He was somebody that not too many of us here this morning want to emulate. We really don't look up to John the Baptist as somebody that I want to be like when I grow up. A good likelihood is because he was beheaded. We don't have that as an anticipation. We're not looking forward to that. And if we're as coarse as he was, then it's a good possibility that we'll be at least emotionally beheaded, if not really. But you see, John the Baptist wasn't just simply willing to prepare the way of the Lord. He wasn't called just to make the path straight for the Son of God to come. But he was also exposing evil. I don't find it anywhere in Scripture, anywhere in the story about John the Baptist, that he had anything personally against the king or the ruler. He had something against what the king or the ruler had done. He simply expressed that it was not right to have his brother's wife. That's all. You see, it was the evil that he was exposing, that he said was wrong. But sin is so prevalent today. Evil is so prevalent today. Now, probably when we think of evil, we think of those are the gross transgressions. But evil really has to do with sin. Hateth sin. It's become so prevalent today that we have become accustomed to it. Just as much as we find it easy to take electricity for granted, we have also become so accustomed to sin around us that it no longer shakes us. I was sitting in a little eating place this past week, and there were, I don't know, a dozen farmers there eating. And their language was such that I was very tempted. I don't know why I didn't, but I was nearly getting ready to rise to my feet and ask if any of you guys Christians? Well, yeah, we're all Christians, was what I expected them to say. And my response to their quest or for that statement, had I done it, would have been out of the same fountain comes sweet water and bitter. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So accustomed to it. You know, that's one thing. There's so many issues, so many points. Are we really still in love with God so much that the things that He hates, we hate? And He hates sin. You see, God is against all sin. God, being holy, cannot tolerate sin in any degree, in any measure, in any form, in any life. Evil and sin is directly offensive to God by nature. we, as followers of God, as His disciples, should also hate sin. Now, it's more easy for us, or easier for us, to hate sin in somebody else's life. But God hates sin in every form, in every at every angle, in every arena. So much so that Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that we as his followers should abstain from the very appearance or the simple appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the point of the Christian. Being preserved blameless. Preserved is the key word there. Preserved in the midst of the contamination that may be around us. That is around us. And not allowing the common sense or the common nature that is around us to contaminate the spirit. Oh, how I love Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, then you'll hate what I hate, he says. Just simple thoughts for us to take home and consider on this Lord's Day. How much do I love God? How much does it show that I love God? Let's stand together this morning.